Our story today is the story of Gideon. And if you know the story at all, you know that Gideon is out in a cave somewhere trying to hide while he is threshing his wheat, because every year the Midianites would come from the desert into their place. And it says, whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites invaded the country and stole the crops. They're in the desert. They don't make anything. They just come and steal everybody else's crop. And Israel says to God, we are the chosen people. We are in the promised land, God. And these people are out in the desert, and this should not be happening. And these people come in and camp on their land and steal their harvest. Sports Illustrated came Thursday night. I got home late and just glanced through. And there's no big events this week, so they spent most of the magazine on famous players asking, where are they now? And they would have a story of how they're doing. First one is Allen Iverson. Incredible player, barely 6 feet tall, 4 scoring in championships. He's number 7 in the history in scoring. Little tiny guy. But his life has almost been destroyed with alcohol. Not being good to his family. His wife divorced him. They're trying to find a way to make it back together. And he just is heartbroken what he's done. Trying to fix it now. 45 years old. They had a story. Vince Young. One of the greatest college quarterbacks in history, tall, from Texas, came and played against USC in the Rose Bowl. Incredible. We all hated it, but he's fantastic. Now he's 34 years old. He has made $35 million, and he is bankrupt and has nothing and trying to get his life back together again. Tried to go up and play in Canada, but he hurt something. Now he can't play there either. Harvest got cheated. Clinton Portis, maybe you haven't heard of him, but great, 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 great running back. All his money is gone. He's had to go bankrupt, trying to do some television, radio, trying to get his life back together again. And you can think of many others. I just put several together. Pete Rose, the best baseball hitting for hits in history. They will never let him be in the Hall of Fame because of gambling. Daryl Strawberry, O.J. Simpson, 70 years old in jail. Barry Bonds from our city in Riverside. Grew up in Riverside, an incredible athlete. 3 most valuable players in Pittsburgh. Comes to San Francisco. He is an incredible player already, but it's not good enough. He wants to be better than Mark McGwire, so he begins to cheat. And now people don't respect half of what he did because he cheated and let someone came and cheat him of his harvest. Lance Armstrong wrote a book about how God had blessed him. The hardest working bicycle rider, 8 hours in his bicycle every day, year round. Great, great athlete, but it's not good enough, and he cheats and wins 7 Tour de France's, all cheating. And he said the hardest thing he ever had to do was to go to his son who had been defending him all these years and say, no, son, daddy was lying. Daddy cheated. It's not just in sports. Look at this man. Many would say in terms of just sheer intellect and political skill, whether you agree with him or not, isn't the point. A talented, talented, brilliant man. And he gets to be president in the most important office in the world with a chance for 8 years to make a difference in the world and to make people's lives better and to do these things. He stood up and made a speech in Little Rock, a speech for his inauguration. Here's what we're going to do. And it all gets destroyed because he has not dealt with these other last few demons in his life. And he lets a girl into the Oval Office of the presidency. You just want to scream at him and just say, don't let someone come and camp on your land and cheat you out of your harvest. And now we have another president. Whatever you think doesn't matter. But there's a lot of us that would like to say to him, you have been given this gift. You have come at 70 years old to a promised land, and you have a chance to do something. You have the most important, powerful office in the world. Use it to do something good. Quit listening to what everyone else is saying and listen to God and put your head down and be the president. Don't let someone or demons come in and cheat you of your legacy, of what you can do. See? Too bad. And it's with all of us, too. I don't know what your promised land is, what God would like you to do and what you would like to do in your life. Maybe you just sense that the job you have is not your final job. It's not fulfilling, and there's another promised land still there for you. Or maybe you know you just like to be healthier. You're tired of not feeling well, and you wish you could just be more fit. Or you wish you're retired, and you wish you had saved up more money so retirement would be a little more comfortable. Or maybe your promised land, we just could have your family be without so much drama. That would just be enough. If your family just had less drama, that would be good. And this story says it's possible that you are being kept from your drama because you haven't driven the last few demons out. And it's cheating you of your harvest. You've allowed some Midianites to come and camp on your land and steal your harvest that should be yours. I went to school with a friend of mine. I can't give you much details. Want him to know, but a star. Just a star. Eighth grade, high school, we were in seminary together. He was the best athlete in our school at Andrews University. He was the best musician. He was a solo at the middle of the choir concert. He was a captain of the gymnastics team when they had their three high. He was the guy with a handstand up at top. Incredible athlete. I invited him to come back and speak for the alumni day at Academy at 24 years old. Incredible sermon. Made an appeal. I can still remember it today, 40 years later. He became the youth director of a conference back there. A shooting star. And 5 years later, it's all gone. Lost his ministry, lost his wife, lost his kids. He called me mixing cement in Indianapolis, begging me for a job. Came out to Riverside, I saw him, several hundred pounds. He just lost. Someone came. He let someone get on his harvest and take his land. I was in a conference, won't tell you where, when the president of that conference had just been elected as the general conference president. And I'm speaking, and this lady came up, and I said, hey, what do you think? Your president is now the president of the General Conference. And she said, I'm concerned. She was on committees with him. She knew. He does too many things by his human power, not by God. He's very smart. But he trusts his smartness. And he says things he should not say, and he has to go around and apologize all the time. And within a year, that was all over the church. The smart man. But he had not moved those last few demons out of his life. And those demons made him say things publicly never should have said. I did a wedding for that lady a few months later out here. And I said, you were right. You knew. And that general conference president was forced to resign. First one to have to leave his office because he had never cast out the last few demons. It's too bad. He came back and did a lot of good, just died a little while ago, and became a personal friend of mine. Too bad. And you remember what we are doing in this series. If you're a guest today, you understand we are doing a series on Joshua and Judges. That God has promised everybody a promised land. Ellen White says everything that happened here can be repeated again today. What happened to Gideon and to Jericho can happen for you and for me. And God said to the Israelites, drive them out. These giants and these walled cities, don't let them stay. Don't intermarry with them. Don't do anything with them. You cannot leave them there. Drive them out. I will drive them out, and I will give you the victory. Just you march, you shout, you play your trumpets. We want you to go. But Israel didn't do it. And now the Midianites are coming and camping on their land. And 7 years they've had no harvest. And they've had nothing to eat. And he says, if you're not careful, they will create hell for you for the rest of your lives. These demons that you don't cast out. The problem with sin is not that it makes God mad. The problem with sin is that what it does to you, it cheats you of your harvest, your destiny, what God wants you to do, what you want to do, gets taken away because you haven't gotten rid of those last few demons that need to go. God has promised you, John 10:10, I came to give you life, life more abundantly, but we're not getting it because we haven't cast these demons out. We're letting them stay. And a few giants are around. These are not bad people, but they just haven't driven the demons out. So the first message would be, don't let anybody cheat you out of your harvest. Don't let any Midianites come and camp on your land. And when it comes time for your promised land, take your harvest away. Don't let it happen to you. These are not bad people. These are good people. The bad people stayed behind. The bad people have died. These are people that left Egypt following the cloud. These are people that saw the Red Sea. They saw these other miracles. They heard the Ten Commandments at the top of Mount Sinai. These are good people. These are the people who went over the Jordan River. They believed we can do this. These are the people that marched around Jericho and watched the walls come tumbling down. And God says, I can do that every single time. You can have Jericho after Jericho after Jericho. These are good people. But all of a sudden, they got tired. And they finally decided, we don't have to worry about these few. We can leave them here. And now they're in trouble. And I don't know if you have found this, but I have found in 40 years of doing this now, that Satan has a way of doing this. You come to Christ, you get baptized, it's new and it's exciting and it's fun and it's good, and you get all these new friends and it feels good to be truthful, and Satan begins to retreat, and he lets you get rid of some bad words, and he lets you begin to pay tithes, lets you begin to go to church, and he begins to change your life, and he lets you have victory after victory until you come to the place and say, I think I got this figured out. I got this down now. And you are beginning to be a good person. And then when you finally begin to think, I've got this right, Satan comes in and he counterattacks and he brings in every gun that he has. And that's what happened here to Israel. It's that last 10%. He will let you go out of Egypt and the Ten Commandments and over Jordan and even Jericho. But then when it finally you're going to get to your promised land, he puts up a wall and he brings in the giants. And he says, I'm not going to lose you. And you wonder why you're not getting to the promised land you think you ought to have, because you haven't driven out those last few demons. It's the last 10% that gives you the flourishing, the God-honoring, fulfilling life. And God says, don't let them stay. You won't let them camp on your land. Drive them out and be done with it. And God told Gideon, I'm going to use you. He tells them to go get rid of the idols. He doesn't want to do it in the daytime. He does it at night. And he tears down the family idols. The next day, they wake up and find it, and they come and say, look what you did. And Gideon's father comes, and he says, if these are really your gods, they should be able to take care of themselves. Right? And so take care of themselves. I was at last year's graduation a couple weeks ago for Satida, for Brian, for Samantha. So I was there on Friday night, sitting in my old church off to the side here, just watching. And Satida's on the front row. Pastor Sam Lenore, wonderful, wonderful pastor. got up to speak Friday night to the kids. And as he often does at graduations, he passed out a bag of Jelly Bellies to every kid there, all the graduates. And he said, usually we'd say you can't eat in church, but this one time, it's okay. And then he talked about Jelly Bellies. Now, I'm not an expert on Jelly Bellies, but he said, I took my kids to the factory. And here it is, all these millions of Jelly Bellies who are all these gorgeous colors. And he said, every one of them is perfect. They know how to make these Jelly Bellies, and they're all exactly alike. And the colors are perfect, and the sugar is perfect, and they're perfect. Except for this one section over here. And he said, what is that? And here is this one place for the Jelly Bellies that didn't come out quite right. Not the same as all the others. And you can buy those if you want. The odd ones. The different ones. Maybe a little shape. Maybe the color a little different. Something is not quite the same. And then he said, Romans 12 says, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed, different from the world. And he said, don't be like all the other Jelly Bellies in the world. Be like the ones that are different. Amen? And then he used a phrase that I had not heard before, but I did the internet and it's there. Martin Luther King was the first one, but others have picked it up and said, Christians need to be positively maladjusted to the world. Now, ordinarily, you do not want to be maladjusted. If you're maladjusted, we don't want to be around you. But he said here, Jesus calls you to be maladjusted to the world positively. You don't allow the world to come and camp on your land. You don't allow the world to get inside your head. You are different from the world, and we are proud to stand. We are not conformed. We will be positively maladjusted to the world. Amen? Yes. And he challenged 250 or whatever young college graduates to be maladjusted. Don't fit in. Don't let the Midianites come and camp on your land and cheat you out of your harvest. Now we come to the question, what's the deal with this 300? The enemy at least has 120,000 because we know how many died later. Gideon sends a message out to get as many as he can, and there's 30,000 who come from everywhere. These are the fighters ready to fight. And God whispers to Gideon, you got too many. What do you mean too many? I got 1 in 4. No, you got too many. And he begins to whittle it down. He says, send everybody home. He's a little bit scared. Anybody scared? Yes, 20,000 raised their hand. Okay, go home. And then he said, it's still too many, 10,000. Send them down to the creek, and I'll do a test down there. I'll be the one to divide. And those that just lapped up the water, they stayed. The people who laid down and took a long drink, they're gone. Now he's down to 300. And I can remember sermons growing up that said, these 300 are the best because they are the best soldiers. They are too busy. They're watching the enemy. No, that is not the point. The point is not that God can somehow look at the magic God can do with 300 of the best of the best. The point, God says himself, I want to get this number so small that you will know forever that it was me and not you. It was not because they were the best and the most aware and the most alert and the best soldiers. And he says in Judges chapter 7 verse 2, the Lord said to Gideon, you have too many warriors with you. If I let all of you fight the Midianites, they will boast to me that they saved themselves by their own strength. And then he says in verse 7, with these 300, I will save you. Amen. I got a couple of amens for that. I will save you. That's the message from the story of Gideon. If you want to get your own promised land, the message has to be, it has to be all God. All God. If you mix yourself into it, you cheat your harvest. And if you're looking for more harvest in your life and more promised land, all God. And God goes a little further. He chooses the lowest one. Gideon says, it can't be me. My family is the weakest family, and I am the least of my family. So God looks around the country and he finds the weakest family, and then he finds the weakest of them so he can make a message. It's me, not you. Gideon is still so scared. He's had an angel come and talk to him. He has to have four miracles in order to believe that God's really going to bless him. An angel burns all the food away. He has to have the fleece dry and the ground wet. That's not good enough. Have the fleece wet and the ground dry. That's not good enough. God lets him sneak down into the camp, stand behind the tent, and hear someone say this dream about the bread falling in. And he said, that stands, that God is on the side of the Midian, of Israel, and not the Midianites. And Gideon walks out of that place knowing God is going to bless him, and he hears it from the other side. Gideon is so weak that he has to have four miracles in a day in order to be okay. And God says, I just want you to know, it's all me. It's not you. And if you can just nail this down in your life, if you are looking to go to the next level in your promised land and have your harvest, if there's some level in your family you wish your family could get to, if you're looking to get married to somebody, the person of your dreams, if you're looking to have enough money for retirement, if you're looking to be healthier, and you know there's another promised land in your life, let God come in and drive those last few demons out and claim your promised land. Don't accept the 10%. Don't let any Midianites come and camp in your land. Is God still doing it today? Ellen White says in Patriarchs and Prophets, God, it is just as essential that you trust God completely today as it was in the days of Gideon. We could not figure out how to get visas for our kids to go to Brazil. Suzanne and Sarah had ever been working on this. We didn't know for a while. We had to have visas, and we didn't know. $160, that's $5,000. We had to sweat that out. Finally, that all got worked out. And then you have to have an appointment at the Brazilian consulate down in Los Angeles. No one knew about that. So you call them up. They have 2 hours a day, 10 to 12, when you can get an appointment. You can't walk in. Has to be online. And their first appointment was July 31. The trip is August 3. You have to have 5 business days. There are no 5 business days from July 31 to August 3. I said to Sarah, can we get them from Brazil? We'll fly you to Brazil. Go get the visas in Brazil. We'll fly you to Washington, D.C., go to the embassy. No, you can't do that. We tried to call all the visa agencies. There was no visa agency, even for $350 a person. We couldn't find a way to make this work. We were within minutes of canceling your Brazil trip for 30 people and giving all the tickets back and all the money back. We had to buy plane tickets this weekend. When an email came Monday morning, 11 o'clock, and the email lady said, who'd been saying no all week, you should have started much sooner. But because we don't want to disappoint all your young people, we will grant you an emergency appointment next Friday morning. Amen? A pure miracle of God. And Pastor Dan Smith, with all his faith, was ready to cancel the trip. He said, we've tried everything we know. I don't know what else to do. When an email came, and it broke. And they are going next Friday morning, and we hope. 2 days ago, yesterday, they found a school where all the kids can stay, going to save us a chunk of money. A miracle of God. We decided Tuesday night we would try to do water filters for the Philippines. I'm flying out tonight. Last time it took 10 days and $31 per water filter to go. And we gave them all away, and hundreds of people more wanted water filters. And we said Tuesday night, Savino, go find us some more water filters. But they got to be here Friday morning. We have $1,400, whatever that is. He called me Wednesday afternoon, and he said, Pastor Dan, I got them. I said, how many did you get? 75. You got 75? He said, it costs so much for the shipping. The lady said, I will reduce the price from $31 to $16. And Thursday morning, all the water filters are here. They're packed up in the bag. They're going with me on the plane tonight. And 75 families will have it. And God says, if you'll just trust me, I will give you Jericho after Jericho after Jericho. They don't have to be any AIs. They don't have to be any. There can be Jericho after Jericho. If you'll just trust me, I never lose. We lose because we let the Midianites come in camp and we let the tribes stay in our territory. And to go to Hebrews to nail this down, a chapter on faith. He does the whole trip by faith. By faith, Moses. By faith, they crossed over the Red Sea. By faith, they crossed over the Jordan River. By faith, the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. And by faith, Gideon put the army to flight, and they all destroyed each other. The Adventist Church has had a long history of fighting this battle. Do we begin our life by faith and then come a day where somehow you have to do something on your own, or you and God together? And the book of story of Gideon and the book of Hebrews says, no, it is by faith from Egypt all the way to the promised land. There is no time where you do it by yourself. It is by faith from beginning to end. Amen? It's all by faith. It's all God. Come down to the end here. For thousands of years, people have seen a connection between this story of Exodus to the promised land to our leaving slavery and going to the real promised land. And people have seen a connection between Jericho and Gideon and the final battle of Armageddon. And it's all these parallels. Gideon stands for Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, coming down out of the sky to win the battle. And God is going to do it all. Our part is to march and shout and blow the trumpets and worship God and shout out the sword of God and shout out the name of God, and God will win the battle. We're not going to fight in this final battle of Armageddon. And if you'll notice, God himself doesn't kill anybody in the story. God creates craziness, and there's everybody with these lights and people shouting and trumpets and horns. And the people begin to kill each other. And 120,000 people were killed. And God didn't kill any of them. And the Israelites didn't kill any of them. They killed themselves. And none of the Israelites were killed. That's what it'll be at the end of the world. And catch this. Even the Midianites acknowledge that God is on their side and not theirs. And the Bible says at the end of the world, every knee will bow. And what? Every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Even the wicked who are dying will acknowledge that God was right. And here it is in the story of Gideon. And it says that Gideon gave them land rest for 40 years as a symbol of the 1,000 years and forever in heaven. And so I say to you today, it may seem to you sometimes that the other side is winning. And when the angel came to Gideon, Gideon said, if the Lord is with us, then why is all this happening to us? Everybody asks that. I get asked that every week. If God is with us, why is this happening? And all I can say to you is, I believe God has a promised land for you down here. But if you never get to all the promised lands you would like to have, Moses did not get to go into the promised land. He had to go up top of a mountain and look into it and then go home. But someday Moses is going to sing the song of Moses on the sea of glass, and he will be in the promised land. And if you don't get all your promised land down here, Gideon's story is a promise that someday you will get your promised land. Someday you will cross over the Jordan River. Someday you will see the walls of Jericho come tumbling down. And someday you will get the ultimate promised land forever with God. That's a promise. I have something special for you today. Come on. I brought a testimony for you today. We do not know exactly how this will go. This is Dr. Sam Bolivar. He's been our friend for 20-some years. We have been in his home 100 times, I'm sure. One more time last night. He's our doctor. He's my friend. And they've transferred into our church. We get them once every 8 weeks, but they're here. They live an hour away from here. Their son, who's here, is working with the summer. Just like Armando was here, he's working at the La Sierra Spanish Church. So Sam, as a doctor for 30-some years, got diagnosed with lymphoma a few weeks ago. Under the tongue somewhere, some crazy thing, yeah. Wasn't comfortable, and you sit in a doctor's office and have somebody tell you that you have lymphoma. And we've tried to get together a couple times, nothing, but got canceled. He's in chemo. He had chemo yesterday. I said, do you feel good enough to come and talk about it a little bit? We listened as he shared God with us yesterday for 40 minutes. And I said, come tell the church. So tell us a little bit. Here's the mic.
Thank you, Pastor. Good morning, church.
Hold it right up to you.
This morning is not about me. This morning is about the changing power of Jesus in my heart. The changing power in your heart as well. I'm nobody. I'm just a simple man. But I'm a changed man.
Doesn't it feel good?
I'm a changed man. Look at me. No hair. It's falling off. My energy is probably 50% of what I used to have. My skin changed darker because of the chemotherapy. I lost up to around 20 pounds. Thank goodness. I look better, I think. I'm a changed man by the grace of God. I was blind, and now I see. I was lost, and he found me. I was dying, and he saved me. Yes, indeed. I was changed 8 weeks ago. I was diagnosed with lymphoma. That's a type of cancer, like leukemia. It's a cancer of the lymph nodes. I received a call on Thursday that day. And it changed my life completely. It changed the life of my family. I was diagnosed with a disease that could kill me if I don't look for help. You know what? I was in the top of the mountain. I was a doctor, 32 years. I have seen more than 320,000 cases. I'm a professor at one of the universities in Riverside. So I thought I was a big shot. Why me? I go to church every day. At least every Sabbath, I pay the tithes, I pay the offering, I help everything I can with my family. I'm a son of a minister who was a missionary for 50 years. And here I am with lymphoma. I was destroyed completely. But you know what? I thought I was pleasing God my way. My way. I wasn't pleasing God his way. And after many days of suffering, crying, when your bodily functions do not work, you start thinking about somebody else. At that time, I realized that I have to come to Jesus. He was my only answer. I had to go back to my early years. When my mother and my father taught me that Jesus was the door, that Jesus was the only answer to my disease. So day to day, every night I had to come down to my knees and ask for forgiveness, ask God for grace. And after many hours of really dealing with those demons inside of you, I realized that Jesus was my Savior. I realized that I had to give Jesus not only 20%. I had to give my soul, my entire being completely, 100% completely to God. Because that was the only way I could live a true life. It was not easy. I had to kneel down every single day, 3-4 times a day, and ask God for forgiveness. After a few days, after praying and realizing that God was my Savior, I understood who God was. God is a God of love. Then, once I felt that grace was in my heart, I came to my senses and I understood that faith is the power, is the pardon, is the love of God in your heart. And He gave me that faith. The faith that gives me the key and gives you the key to open the door to heaven. Once you are in that dimension with God, you change. Your life changed completely. Now all your senses in your body belong to God. I was blind. Now I was able to see. My eyes only wants to see the things that please God. I don't want to see movies with killing, movies doing other things to other human beings. My eyes wants to please God. My mouth wants to speak the words that pleases God. My voice has to sing songs that praise God. My ears can only hear words that pleases God. My hands are only able to do things that please God. My feet only go to places that pleases God. Now I understood everything that I learned when I was a boy. And my dad, everybody, every day talking to me. That God in His mercy gave His Son, His only Son, eternal Son, gave it to us. He came to earth and died in a miserable death on a cross just for you and me.
Amen.
So we could have the icing of the cake. I understood why my dad was talking about heaven every time he was preaching to us, especially during the last 3 years of his life. Because he knew that the icing of the caves of the cake was what? Eternal life in Jesus Christ. So, brothers and sisters, come to Jesus. 100%. And not 90%. 100%. And He will give you the power of grace and faith so you could get that key that will open the door to His kingdom. The icing of the cake. Eternal life.
Amen. Amen. Now I asked you the hard question last night. This is what God has done in your life the last few weeks. But let's just say 6 months from now, the cancer's gone. You were healed, and you're busy, and you're a doctor, and you got all these kids, and life goes back to what it was. How do you know that this relationship you're connecting with Jesus will stay?
Pastor, brothers and sisters, it's not easy. But I know if I kneel down every day, if I give my life to Jesus every day, if my eyes only can't please God, my ears, my mouth, my hands, my whole body pleases God every day, I'll be every day with Jesus. The Bible says, me and my house will always serve the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Would you bow your head for prayer with me as we pray for Sam? Our dear Father in heaven, I thank you for the testimony that Sam has given. He gave it to Hilda in the office the other day. He gave it to us last night. He's given it to our whole church today. It's rooted in his soul, Father. We know that you didn't give him the cancer, so this would happen to him. That came from the other side. But we are thankful, Father, and just honor the heart and soul that Sam has connected to you. And I just pray that this relationship with you, Father, you will channel that to his patients and to his family and to all of us. That we will not wait, Father, for some hard thing to come. We don't have to have Midianites come and destroy the whole Israel before they wake up and go all the way with you. May we drive out those demons, those last few demons, Father. And may we put the time in to connect with you, as he has said, kneeling down several times a day, spending 4 to 5 minutes, he told us, reading the word and exercising to get his life right, Father. May we all do that before it's too late, before some crisis comes. And may we achieve our promised land. Now be with him, Father. Bless the doctors at City of Hope. Bless this treatment. Bless the treatment this week. And may he recover soon, Father, and have a long and healthy promised land until the day we get to go to heaven. And he can be with his Father again, and we can do heaven together forever. Bless Barbara's mother and all here, Father, who have a special need that they are praying for today. And we pray that all the promised lands that people are praying for will come to pass. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.